Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 88 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
They found one location of the Stachybotrys mold, which is the black mold.
The house of the president at Moorhead State University has been evacuated due to black mold.
A Lexington man is behind bars after police say he held a woman captive for 20 hours.
The car of missing Moorhead woman Serena Ross has been found in San Diego, California.
An audit of Kentucky's primary elections has revealed no wrongdoing.
There are now only six candidates running for the six Moorhead City Council seats.
In sports, the NFL season officially kicks off tonight in Philadelphia.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight with lows around 68 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The president at Moorhead State University had to move out of the historic home located on campus last month. Assistant Vice President for Facilities and Operations Kim Oatman reported to the Board of Regents today that black mold had been found in the building's basement. Oatman recommended that the board approve a new drainage system for the home to keep more damage from occurring.
Remove the paneling and drywall, cabinetry that has been contaminated by mold. Just do a thorough cleaning of the whole house. Actually, remove the HVAC. There's three HVAC units. Which we found mold inside the unit. Remove all the HVAC units and remove or clean all the ductwork.
Oatman said replacing the HVAC units would cost at least $54,000. He anticipates a full renovation of the property could cost as much as $150,000.
A Lexington man is behind bars after police say he held a woman captive and beat her unconscious. WKYT reports Richard French was arrested Wednesday night. Police say he assaulted the victim and held her captive for 20 hours. The woman eventually was treated in an emergency room. Her current condition is unknown. French is facing charges including assault, unlawful imprisonment, and terroristic threatening.
Moorhead police say the car of Tracor Grant's girlfriend has been found in San Diego, California. Grant is accused of exposing himself to multiple women at a Walmart and a Burke's outlet in Moorhead. He is believed to be in the company of his girlfriend Serena Ross, who is listed as a missing person and believed to be in danger. Police tell WKYT cell phone records placed Grant and Ross in San Diego. Moorhead officers have reportedly contacted San Diego police for help in locating the two. According to investigators, San Diego officers found Serena Ross's vehicle, but were unable to locate her or Grant. Police say they are focusing their search on Ross because of her missing person status. Moorhead police say while Grant has warrants for his arrest, it would be difficult to have him extradited to Kentucky based on those warrants.
Kentucky State Police are asking for the public's help finding a Rowan County man. KSP officials tell WIMT they are looking for 36-year-old Jason Reynolds of Moorhead as part of an ongoing investigation. Reynolds is considered dangerous, and officials say you should not approach him. If you have any information about where Reynolds might be, you are asked to call Kentucky State Police Post 8 or 911 right away.
One person is dead after a fire in Ashland this morning. WSAZ reports firefighters rushed to a home on Gallagher Drive around 3 a.m. Investigators say one person inside the home died while another survived. No information has been released about the victim. The survivor is believed to have started the fire and is currently in custody. Police have not released the suspect's name or charges.
Police say four people are dead, including the gunman, in a downtown Cincinnati bank shooting. Police Chief Elliot Isaac said the shooter opened fire early Thursday morning at the loading dock of the Fifth Third Bank building. Isaac said the gunman then entered the bank's lobby where he exchanged gunfire with police. It's unclear if the gunman shot himself or was shot by officers. One of the victims also died at the scene. Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley said the gunman was actively shooting innocent victims and that it was a horrific scene. He noted the building on the city's Fountain Square houses popular ice cream, sandwich, and pastry shops. He says it could have been much, much worse if not for the immediate police response to end the threat.
After matching with a stranger on a dating app, a Lexington man's date stole his car. Police are looking for the woman who drove off with a 2017 blue Ford Mustang. According to Detective Mark Thomas with the Lexington Police Department, when they watched the surveillance video, they were able to see evidence that the crime may not have been a one-man job.
She appears to have some words with these guys in this Cadillac. They look like they're affiliated, like they may have known one another, and then they all drive off at the same time.
Detective Thomas says this scenario is not uncommon and is not even limited to just auto theft. Police encourage anyone who has information that leads to an arrest, you make it a cash reward from the Bluegrass Crime Stoppers. Call 859-253-2020 with any information. And we'll be right back with news right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market. 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays in downtown Moorhead on U.S. 60 near the City Park. The Rowan County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods, accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market nutrition vouchers, and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars program. Supporting local farmers, the Rowan County Farmers Market is Kentucky proud. No wrongdoing was found in Kentucky's primary elections. Paul Miles reports.
The Attorney General says post-election audits of six randomly selected counties revealed no potential criminal activity in the May primary. The AG says the audits of Bullitt, Jessamine, Owen, Powell, Rowan, and Scott counties were clean. During the primary, 339 complaints were received through the election law violations hotline. The Attorney General says 25 complaints are still under review. I'm Paul Miles.
Moorhead City Council's seats have seemingly been filled after another candidate has withdrawn from the race. WMKY's Peyton Stewart has the story.
There are now only six candidates running for the six vacant Moorhead City Council seats. Candidate Derek Casey withdrew from the race before the primary election. Most recently, Paul Hitchcock withdrew his candidacy on August 21st. The six remaining candidates on the ballot will assume office at the beginning of next year, unless a write-in candidate has more votes. That's according to Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis. Write-in candidates are eligible to file up to 10 days prior to the general election, which will be held on Tuesday, November 6th, with polls being open from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. For WMKY, I'm Peyton Stewart.
A Democratic candidate in Kentucky has ended her boycott of Sinclair Broadcast Group. Amy McGrath pulled her TV ads from Sinclair stations in April amid a Democratic primary after it was revealed the company required its local news anchors to read a statement decrying the troubling trend of irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing the country. McGrath said the statement mimicked propaganda efforts in authoritarian countries. McGrath is now the Democratic nominee, challenging Republican U.S. Representative Andy Barr. Her campaign now has ads on Sinclair station WDKY in Lexington. McGrath campaign manager Mark Nicholas said the boycott was out of concern the FCC would let Sinclair purchase 42 stations from the Tribune Media. He said they ended the boycott when the deal collapsed.
The NBA, NFL, and the PGA are among the major professional sports organizations signing up to lobby the Kentucky General Assembly in 2019. As WUKY's Josh James reports, the groups want to be at the table if state lawmakers move to legalize sports betting.
The organizations are gearing up for what could be a hot debate next year, following a Supreme Court decision opening the door to expanded betting on college and professional sports in most states. John Schaff with the Legislative Ethics Commission says they're likely interested in the tax and fee structure surrounding the betting.
And one thing they appear to want is some sort of fee built into the legislation that the state would pay them a certain percentage of the gambling proceeds in order to help pay for their efforts to keep their games and keep the integrity of their games high.
A bipartisan group of Kentucky lawmakers is crafting sports betting legislation. The group has already ruled out wagering on high school sports, but college athletics remains open for debate. Depending on which sports are allowed, the state could make anywhere between $5 to $30 million annually, according to supporters. While Governor Matt Bevin remains a staunch critic of casino gambling, he has expressed openness to considering a sports betting bill. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Officials with the Kentucky Community and Technical College System are ecstatic regarding their participation in an energy savings program. The KCTCS has been participating in the Commonwealth Energy Management Control System, as well as some energy savings performance contracts. Wendell Followell is the vice president of the KCTCS. He says the system has saved around $66 million in energy costs over the past 10 years.
So this is a way to not only help us control costs, frankly, just to be able to control costs and not have to pass on, because here's the thing, we've saved that $66 million over 10 years. Imagine if we weren't doing that, the added burden to our students in additional tuition and fees.
Currently, seven KCTCS colleges are participating in a second round of energy savings performance contracting, and that comes with a guaranteed savings exceeding $38 million.
Eastern Kentucky may not be home to many electric vehicle enthusiasts, but a Louisville filmmaker says interest is growing, even in the heart of coal country. Ben Evans is the filmmaker behind Evolve, a documentary that's set to premiere at the Kentucky Theater today at 7 p.m. Evans says he hopes viewers leave feeling a little more optimistic about their options for going electric and the prospects for shifting away from fossil fuels.
You know, I'd love it if people started to think more broadly about the infrastructure that is necessary to support electrified transportation and how they can be a part of helping to make that change. There are some great options for getting clean energy.
The premiere of the hour-long documentary coincides with the kickoff for National Drive Electric Week.
Construction of an expansive sports complex in Grayson is still in the planning phase. Mayor George Still says the process of securing a contractor has taken longer than anticipated. Now that the project has been through a bidding cycle without any submissions, Still says the city is now free to reach out on their own to individual firms.
The park is coming. It's slower than I would like for it to happen, but it's going to happen. We didn't get any bids from contractors on the last bidding process, so now it has opened up the doorway for us to negotiate with anybody we want to negotiate with. So the park's going to happen. The process has just been slowed down a little while, but it's coming around.
The Grayson City Council passed a 3% restaurant tax in August 2017 to fund the new park development. Estimated construction costs for the complex are between $6 and $7 million.
Big Sandy Community and Technical College in Pike County will be hosting the first-ever Appalachian Storytelling Night Saturday, September 8th. The event is presented by Gearhart Communications and Appalachian Wireless and will feature a slew of storytellers at the Big Sandy campus. Professor of Human Services Tammy Ball talks about the three storytellers presenting on that night.
The theme for the night is Appalachian. Ray Mendenhall tells folk tales. He tells jack tales. Karen Dollinger does too. She teaches for UPike. It looks like she is going to be more of a maybe old Irish or old Scottish tales. And Hillary Spangler is a musician, a visual artist, a director and a producer and an activist. And she's interested in rural and urban and international art practice.
Ball says the event has been a pet project of hers for a long time, and she hopes to see it grow into an annual celebration. The event begins at 6 p.m., Admission is $5 for adults and free for children under 12. Tickets can be purchased by phone at 1-888-MAC-ARTS or online at .macarts.com.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, tonight scattered showers and thunderstorms, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 68 degrees. Tomorrow, isolated showers, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 83. Tomorrow night, showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm, mostly cloudy skies with a low around 67, and a chance of precipitation is 60%. Saturday, a 30% chance of showers, cloudy skies with a high near 77, and Saturday night, a 50% chance of showers, cloudy skies with a low around 64. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 93 degrees in Ashland, 90 degrees here in Moorhead, as well as in Winchester and Inez, 89 degrees in Flemingsburg, and 88 degrees in Lexington.
On our feature segment this afternoon, a walk for suicide prevention is taking place in Carter County this weekend. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins has the story.
Throughout the month of September, there will be a number of events in honor of World Suicide Prevention. The Carter County Suicide Prevention Walk is being held in conjunction with the National Weekend of Prayer and will support the American Association of Suicidology. Event coordinator Melinda Moore says it gives individuals an opportunity to help fund support groups for suicide.
This Walk for Hope is an annual event that's been conducted at the Church of the Good Shepherd, and it really comes out of the bereavement group that resides there and meets on a weekly basis to help those individuals who are bereaved by suicide. So it raises money for that bereavement support group because there's no funding source for that. But it also is an opportunity for people to contribute to national suicide prevention efforts such as the American Association of Suicidology.
Moore says the walk also gives the subject of suicide more awareness.
There are resources available. There are treatments for individuals who are struggling with suicidal thoughts and feelings. And then there's also help when the worst has happened for those individuals who have been left behind in the wake of a death. And so this is an opportunity for us to raise this issue and to talk about the problem that really needs to be addressed. We've seen that this summer with some very famous high-profile deaths that, quite frankly, may have been preventable.
Moore says it is difficult to understand the symptoms of suicide. She says it's best to just ask.
It's a matter of looking out for those individuals where perhaps their behavior doesn't seem like it normally is, like they just seem a little off, and asking them, not being scared of asking them, hey, are you okay? Are you having thoughts of suicide? Frequently, people who are suicidal suffer in silence. They feel like they can't say anything to their loved ones and people who care about them. And that's typically because they feel like they're a burden.
However, Moore says anyone can help an individual suffering from thoughts of suicide.
That can be a teacher. That can be a custodian. That can be a police officer. That can be anybody. You know, your good friend, the checkout clerk at Walmart. It can be anybody who really, you know, notices somebody being off and saying, hey, are you okay? And then not leaving that individual alone.
Moore says it's just as hard for the family and friends of the victim.
Oftentimes the loved ones who are left in the wake feel guilty, they feel ashamed, they feel like they share in the taint of the death, and as a result they don't talk about it, and oftentimes they suffer in silence for decades. And sometimes people take it to the grave themselves. Some research I was involved in at the University of Kentucky shows that those individuals who are exposed and seriously impacted, probably about a third of those individuals who are exposed, may be at risk for suicide themselves.
The walk will begin at 3 p.m. on September 9th and will be held at Carter Cave State Resort Park near Olive Hill. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
The time is 4:47. I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Logan Pemberton, and we're glad you joined us on this Thursday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, video tapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
The NFL kicks off tonight in Philly. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The NFL season officially kicks off tonight, but the Cincinnati Bengals will have to wait until Sunday afternoon to start their 2018 campaign. They take on the Indianapolis Colts team, looking to get back on track after going an entire year without their franchise quarterback under center. On that point, head coach Marvin Lewis says the Colts team his Bengals will face on Sunday is much different than last year's squad.
They'll be excited over there with Andrew Luck coming back, playing his first football game, regular season game in a bit. So they've reshaped their football team. Particularly defensively, going more of a 3-4 structure to more 4-3 structure now. And so I think that's an adjustment they're making.
The Bengals head into Sunday's matchup as 3-point underdogs on the road. Kickoff from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis is at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Moorhead State University's football team is gearing up for their home opener this weekend. The Eagles host Mount St. Joseph Saturday evening. After falling in the season opener 49-23 at Eastern Kentucky University last week, Coach Rob Tenier says his team has a lot to work on.
I think really at key parts of the game, we've got to be really locked in and being technically sound. And I feel like, we gave up some big plays when we might have been aligned wrong or not made the right calls or not communicated the right calls. And so those things that need to be fixed, and that's what's going to make us, you know, more consistent.
Kickoff at Jane Stadium this Saturday is set for 6:05 p.m. With the final days of the regular season winding to a close, the Cincinnati Reds head back home tonight to begin a three-game series against the visiting San Diego Padres. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
The Reds look to rebound tonight after enduring a three-game sweep on the road at Pittsburgh this week. Tonight they send right-hander Luis Castillo to the mound against Padres left-hander Eric Lauer. Castillo is coming off arguably his best performance of the year, where he notched a career-high 11 strikeouts in a 4-0 win over the Cardinals last Saturday. In his last outing on August 30th, Lauer pitched 5 innings of no-hit baseball in his first game back from a month-long stint on the disabled list. First pitch from Great American Ballpark is set for 6:40 p.m. For WMKY Sports, I'm Joe Lewis.
The Morehead State soccer team travels to Kent State tomorrow to face off with a 3-3 Golden Flashes. MSU's Eagles are coming off a 2-0 loss to Kennesaw State Sunday at home. Head coach Warren Lipka says his team has spent a lot of time in the classroom this week to prepare for Friday's matchup.
I have a ton of confidence in these girls. I think they have the ability. We just got to eliminate some certain things that we're doing and finish some goals. So I think we're going to be finishing around the net this week and taking care of those little things in the back.
The Eagles are looking to snag their second win of the season. Game time Friday is set for 7 p.m. In high school regional soccer action, the Lady Vikings took down Menifee County at home last night, holding the Lady Cats to a scoreless game. Rowan's gals hit 6 goals, moving the team to 6-2 on the season. Head coach Alan Evans says he has a variety of players who are finding the back of the net.
Yeah, Promise Cross is our returning leading scorer, and so she's a junior this year, coming up from her sophomore year. So she's getting extra attention there, and so when she gets extra attention, that's going to open up some of the other girls as well to scoring. And Audrey Evans is getting into the scoring bit, and then Natalie Payton's finally getting in there as well.
Promise Cross was the leading scorer for Rowan with 3 goals last night. Abby Cottle hit 2, and Faith Cross had 1. In other regional girls soccer action tonight, regional leader Bath County travels to Fleming County. Ashland Blazer hosts Johnson Central, and West Carter plays host to Morgan County. In boys soccer action tonight, Boyd County hosts Russell. Menifee travels to Wolf County, and West Carter plays host to Morgan County. Rowan County's volleyball team took home a win in Montgomery County last night, taking 3 of 5 sets from the Lady Indians. The win moves the gals in green to 9-2 on the season. The Lady Vikings break tonight before heading to the Woodford County Invitational tomorrow night, where they'll face Scott County and Bardstown. In other regional volleyball action, top-seeded Russell plays host to Fleming County tonight. Boyd travels to Ashland Blazer, and Raceland welcomes East Carter. The Morehead State Eagles hit the road this weekend for the Blue and Gold Tournament in Toledo, Ohio. MSU is 5-2 on the season after hosting 2 tournament-style events in the last couple of weeks. Volleyball coach Jamie Gordon says his Eagles are ready for the challenge.
You know, we're going to have to be ready to be adaptive out on the court, but I think there's a couple of things that give us some opportunities to match up and maybe create some good points going up.
The Eagles will face off with Toledo Friday at 7 p.m. On Saturday, they face Manhattan at 10 a.m. And that's going to do it for sports today. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Football hosts Mount St. Joseph on Saturday. Kickoff is 6 p.m. Soccer's next home match is on Friday, September 14th, against Eastern Illinois. And volleyball hosts Jacksonville State on Friday, September 21st. You can get more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks mostly fell as tech shares added to steep losses seen in the previous session, while global trade fears lingered. In the Dow Industrials actually managed a small gain of 20.88 at 25,995.87. The broader market was weaker, with the S&P 500 down 10.55 at 2878.05 and the NASDAQ Composite down 72.45 at 7922.73. The tech-heavy NASDAQ, of course, down about 1% and your weakest of the major indices. Amazon and Apple both fell almost 2%. Facebook shares declined almost 3%, and Google parent Alphabet dropped 1.3% in trading today. And chip makers in particular were under pressure within the tech sector. Micron Technology was down 10%, while Lam Research and Applied Materials fell 6.7% and 5.3% respectively. These stocks fell after a Morgan Stanley analyst and an executive at KLA Tencor issued demand warnings for the semiconductor space. Tech shares are up more than 16% this year, outperforming the broader market. However, they are down more than 2% this week. Officials from the U.S. and Canada worked late into the night as both sides sought to secure a new trade agreement to replace the current North American Free Trade Agreement. These talks are likely to continue in the coming days and could potentially last weeks. And in the meantime, the relationship between China and the U.S. remains tense. Markets remain in a wait-and-see mode after a report last week revealed that the U.S. administration was on standby to inflict additional levies on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods as soon as this week. Private companies added 163,000 jobs last month, according to ADP and Moody's. Economists going into the report expected a gain of 190,000. And, of course, this report comes ahead of the U.S. government's non-farm payrolls report, which is set for release on Friday. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.8% at $67.94 a barrel. Gold was up 0.3% at $1,205.70 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were weak as the Stock 600 index dropped 0.6%. And in Asia, stocks were on a downbeat note as well, with the Nikkei down 0.4% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong dropping 1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Boeing and Visa, while the worst performers were Chevron and Apple. In the S&P 500, the best performers were General Mills and CBS, while the worst performers were Micron Technology and KLA Tencor. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 8 cents at 84.41, CSX down 24 cents at 74.06, AEP up 9 cents at 73.33, Marathon Petroleum down $1.14 at 82.80, AK Steel down 13 cents at 4.22, and Anthem was up $3, finishing at $270.85. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. Basketball and racquetball courts, weight and exercise equipment, indoor walking track and swimming pool. Outdoor Adventures offers a bouldering wall, camping and hiking equipment, kayaks and paddle boards for Eagle Lake. Towel service and group fitness classes included with all memberships. Day passes and community memberships now available for fall. Bowling lanes open Monday through Saturday, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Laughlin Building. More information at 783-2083.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, tonight scattered showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy skies with a low around 68. Tomorrow isolated showers, otherwise mostly cloudy skies with a high near 83 degrees. Tomorrow night showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm, mostly cloudy skies with a low around 67 and a chance of precipitation at 60%. Saturday, a 30% chance of showers, cloudy with a high near 77. Saturday night, a 50% chance of showers, cloudy with a low around 64. Sunday, showers likely with thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m., cloudy with a high near 78 and a chance of precipitation at 70%. Sunday night, showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm, cloudy with a low around 67 and a chance of precipitation at 70%. And Monday, showers likely, mainly before 3 p.m., cloudy with a low around 77 and a chance of precipitation at 70%.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Leanne Akers, Joe Lewis, Kenzie Thompson, Peyton Stewart, Chaz Jenkins, Cody Robinson, and Tanner Boyd. From KNN, Paul Miles, and from WUKY, Josh James. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke had your stock report, and our feature segment came from WMKY's Chaz Jenkins. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.